Amen. We'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll jump in this lesson for tonight. Yeah, we just honor you and glorify you, and we just thank you for just the opportunity to get in your presence. And now we seek wisdom and understanding on tonight. We bless you in advance for that. And we thank you for all things. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. By the leading of your spirit, amen. All right. This lesson is I think it's a very important lesson, because as I have been, you know, going through the books of the Bible again, I lost count. I think it's my fourth time. There's just things that they're just becoming more and more clearer, and things are a lot of things that I read, it kind of leaves me a little dumbfounded until Yah show me how easily it is that it can be us, or when you look at us as a whole, we're not much better even on today. And so he had me to contact a church member, and the things that he led me to say to him was in reference to what I'm going to teach on tonight. And after I got through talking to him, I realized how important it was for us to understand it, to understand this lesson, and you know, and I just want to, you know, just share some things with you in order for that to take place. Well, I'm not going to go in detail, but I just say this in general. Yah had told me to, what is the word that he used? To basically stand back from this individual, and Yah was, and the reason why Yah was telling me to stand back, for lack of a better way to put it, Yah was informing me that, you know, if you get too close to the fire, you know, you're gonna get burnt yourself. And so he informed me. He said, "I want you to stand back and before I do these things, I have to use you as a tool to get warning." So I was like, okay. And, you know, I made the phone call, and we talked, and the wonderful thing about it, you know, he said, "Everything you're saying is just confirmation. Remember that, confirmation." He said, "Everything that you said to me is confirmation." He said, "So I know it's from Yah." He said, you know, and it just confirmed some things. He said, because, you know, there are certain things that I see and things that I understand that allows me to really, to really know that this is Yah in a nutshell. And so, when we finished talking, Yah was like, "Okay, you have to explain these things to the church, and then I'm going to give you the scriptures to back up what I'm going to have you say." Obviously, you know, everything we do, we use the scriptures, you know, to back up what you have to say, and then we'll go from there. So the title of this lesson is consistency is the key to obedience. Consistency is the key to obedience. Now, I'm gonna throw, for lack of a better way to put it, a nugget out there for you to understand the towel. I'll use Deanna as an example. Deanna comes to me and she says, well, you know, Lon, I want you to stop, leaving your shorts, you know, by the bed. And, every day you leave your shorts by the bed. And I say, okay, then I'll stop doing it. And then I stopped doing it for about a week. And then after about a week, she'd come in there and here I go again. My shorts are laying beside the bed. And then she confronts me about it and says, okay, we had this conversation and you agreed to do it. You even did it for 7 days. And now you're back to doing the same old thing again. And I was like, well, okay, well, when you said it, I obeyed. I did it. I did it for 7 days. And then I looked to her as was saying, you ought to treat me nice or treat me a certain way because I obeyed for at least 7 days. And but she's like, no, I asked you to do this, and it's not something that I want you to do for a period of time and then stop, but I want you to consistently do it. Thus, the towel, consistency is the key to obedience. Now, what I want to do is look at examples of our nation and, going through the scriptures again and having the opportunity to look at this over and over, and each time I look at it, it's like some things get more and more clear. And as I said, I was, I get more and more dumbfounded until I realize, okay, Lon, this is here for a reason. When I read things now, it's part of the understanding is the comprehension that all this that is here in these scriptures has purpose to it. And Lon, you have to get on the mind. You have to get on the same page of Yah's mind to understand why He put this here, and why all these names here. Why you want to talk about all these kings? And you talk about these kings in the Book of Kings. Then you get over in Chronicles and you start telling these stories all over again. And so in looking at this, this here, I started to realize something that is vitally important for us to understand. And again, the title is consistency is the key to obedience. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Second Chronicles 29, and you see this consistency, although I'm starting at chapter 29, you see this consistency throughout these books of what we're going to discuss. Verse 1 says, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did that which was right in the sight of Yah, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of Yah and repaired them. And as I'm reading these different kings, I'm amazed at the things that they would do. And when they would do these things, how they would even let the house of Yah go in array. And I was like, man, this is wild. This is some crazy stuff going on here. And again, we'll see it in the books that we're going to look at on tonight. Verse 4 says, And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord Yah, of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. Our nation was so wicked that they had abominable things in the holy place. And I was like, what, boy, this is nuts, you know. And so verse 6 says, for our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of Yah, of the Lord our Yah, and have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of Yah and turned their backs. Also, they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the Yah of Israel. Wherefore, the wrath of Yah was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he had delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing. And ye see with your eyes. Verse 9, for lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord Yah of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent. For Yah has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. And so every time I read about a king like Hezekiah, you know, I have a little slight moment of praise. I'd be like, yeah, we got the king, you know, Hezekiah. You know, Yah bless Hezekiah. He's a man that did right in the sight of Yah. And I'll be doggone. Moving through books over, and we get to chapter 32. Chapter 32, we just read verse 33. Okay? Just to understand what's going on. I'll start at verse 32. It says, now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and his goodness, behold, they are written in the vision of Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, and in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Hezekiah slept with his father, and they buried him in the chiefest of the sepulchres of the sons of David and all Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did him honor at his death. And Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. Now, as I get to the end of verse 33, I'm like, okay. Let's see what this stuff gonna do. Or is he gonna be somebody that,
I was saying, you don't see too many consecutives.
Yeah.
Right there consecutively the next guy.
And that's the part that's mind blowing, because you like, okay, can you follow your daddy's footsteps? Hezekiah is your father. Hezekiah did everything that his father David did. And you reign in his stead? Wouldn't it be easier to do the same thing? Let's just move to the next chapter, man. chapter 33 now, verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of Yah, like unto the abominations of the heathens. That's a guy your father now, whom Yah had cast out before the children of Israel, for he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. And he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshiped all the hosts of heaven, and served them. And I'm sitting here, I'm scratching my head, I'm like, man, what is going on? Let me put it here like this. At 12 years old, would you think you'd be too young to know and understand what your father did? Who taught him about Balaam and all those?
I was just going to say, what does that say about the people that are around Hezekiah?
Yeah.
Even if he was 12, they couldn't bring him up in the ways that Hezekiah was doing?
So when we look at this, you know, which is a valid question, okay, you know, but when you're raised up in an environment, you know, scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go. When you're raised up in this environment, there are things that we take on that we learn from our parents. You know, and so for Hezekiah to turn completely to to the things of Yah, and then to have a son come up right behind him and go completely the opposite direction, that lets me know there's a choice. And the reason why I know it's a choice is because of personal experience. Here there were eight of us, eight siblings. And I remember the day. And when I remember the day, I'm not talking about the date and different things like that. I'll say this. I remember the time when one of my sisters said, made a conscious choice and said, I'm not going to raise my children like mama raised us. She was taught the right way, brought up in the church, all the kingdom principles that her mom, our mom, understood, all the things that we learned from a so-called Christian perspective from my grandparents, because you know I lived with my grandparents to a certain age. And they weren't perfect, but there were certain things that they did concerning the things of Yah to keep themselves, their children, and now us being the grandchildren in line with those biblical principles. And my sister made a conscious choice and said, I'm not going that path. That's how I view Manasseh. He made a conscious choice and said, I know the right way, but that's the hard way, and I'm not going that way. Yeah, I want to do my own thing. I want to raise up and be the king and do the things that I want to do. Now, as a result of that, as a result of the my sister making that decision, her son is in prison right now. His son is also in prison right now. The daughter, although she's not, you know, not someone that I consider a bad person, but she's not doing the things of the kingdom like she was brought up. Okay, because her mom looked at that as being too hard on the children, therefore she made the decision not to allow them to go that route of righteousness, and you see the result of that now.
Okay.
I
see, because that makes me see where, like you said, when you were growing up, there were five kids.
Mm-hmm.
And and two of them decided to go their own way instead of with mama, and daddy brought us and took them to my mansion.
Right. So here there were five of y'all, and two of them went the opposite way of how they were brought up.
Yeah.
And so what is important to, I think important to understand is that as we see the patterns of these kings, one does righteousness, one does evil. As we see these patterns, then we'll understand that each king made a conscious decision to go in the opposite direction of their father. If one king was evil, there was another king that came along and said, I'm not going that path. If there was a king that was operating in righteousness, following Yah, like Hezekiah, to the best of his ability, Manasseh comes up behind him and says, I don't want to do that. I don't do what I want to do.
So it's a hard issue.
Yes. And
it's go not ahead. Always about the environment. Like what you're saying, a bad environment, if it's a heart issue, they can still come out and be positive and be good and be godly. God can look on the heart.
Yes.
But by the same token, it could be a good environment,
mm-hmm.
and because of what's going on in their heart, they don't want to line up to whatever that good environment is.
Correct. And you see, especially our young men, and then you see that some in the young women also, but mainly in the young men. I'm like this because, you know, my daddy wasn't around. I'd be like, mine wasn't around either, but I didn't end up that way because I had a heart to follow the right path.
You use that as your occasion to not be like
yes,
your
sir.
Daddy. Not like, oh, well, he was this way, I'm going to be this way.
Yes,
no,
sir.
I'm going to be the opposite of everything he was.
Yes. So what we're learning at this point is, it doesn't matter, as you mentioned, what environment we're raised up in. If we refuse to follow that environment, we're not going to end up in that path. If I refuse to follow the environment of righteousness, I'm going to operate in unrighteousness. That's why I use my sister as an example. I'm not going to raise my kid up like that. Mama raised us too hard. Well, the hard was the righteousness. And as I mentioned, one son in prison and the grandson is in prison too. And the daughter, she's not bad, but she's lost. From that one decision. Now, using myself for an example, my mom raised us to the best of our ability and taught us the things of Yah to the best of our ability. Some made a choice to follow that and some didn't. And you see the results. So it doesn't matter the environment, as Elder pointed out. It doesn't matter the environment. The heart is a determining factor of whether righteous is going to be walked in or evil is going to be walked in. So there's no excuses in blaming on someone else. Well, the reason why I'm like this, no. The reason why you're like that is because you made decisions to be like that. And that's what I was telling the church member today, okay? The reason why you are like this is because it's not that you're ignorant. It's that you're making decisions to do these things that we both know you shouldn't be doing. How many times have we talked about this? So these things are important to be understood. Now, verse 2 again. But he did that which was evil in the sight of Yah, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom Yah had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places, which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. His father did the opposite. His father served Yah, and he come right along and become the king, and serve idols, serve devils. Also, verse 4, also he built altars in the house of Yah. Crazy! Not only is he building altars in Jerusalem, but he's building altars in the house of Yah. Whereof Yah has said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of Yah. and he caused his children to pass through the fire. Oh, and he was crazy, man, in the valley of Hinnom. Also, he observed times and used enchantment and used witchcraft and dealt with familiar spirits and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of Yah to provoke him to anger. I was like, man, this dude is stone nuts.
It's like everything that he could think of that Yah said don't do.
He did it. He did it.
It's almost like you gotta know the word enough to be like, man, let me just read and see what the scriptures say. Always say don't do it. Cause how you gonna come to just doing all these things
together? Now here's the crazy part, because of the time I'm not reading all of this. His father takes all this stuff out.
Right.
And he brings it right back in. And then more than that. I'm like, boy, this is wild. Verse 7 says, you okay? And verse 7 says, and he set a carved image, the owl which he had made, in the house of Yah, which Yah had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, and that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them according to the whole law and statute and statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah to the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen, whom Yah had destroyed before the children of Israel. And Yah spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Yah come to him, telling him, repent, turn around.
Why do we have a knack as a people for doing worse than where we supposed to be the light, and we have a knack for doing worse than the people we're supposed to be alive for? It's the same thing like in the New Testament when Paul write the letter and he say, I hear of you stuff said that I ain't even heard amongst the heathen. Yep. Like the stuff y'all doing, I don't even hear regular people doing that.
Yep. And it shows how y'all's mindset is. He warning before destruction. He warning. So here you have Manasseh doing all this stuff now. And then we move to verse 20 now. He did so much stuff we want to skip past. Verse 20 says, so Manasseh slept with his father. And when I read that part, I said, okay, here we go. I'm excited now. Let's see what's going to happen next. And they buried him in his own house. And Amon, his son, reigned in his stead. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of Yah, as did Manasseh his father. For Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made, and served them, and humbled not himself before Yah, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. So you have to go read and see what Manasseh did. Okay? I'm just not reading it because of the of so much stuff to cover. Okay? Manasseh did humble himself, but you know, he did the things that he did. Verse 23, but Amon trespassed more and more, and his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Amon. And
you know what I mean? The land was, the people was wicked then, because they destroyed him because he was evil. Mm-hmm. But then it was the people in the land that evil that...
No, remember what David said concerning Saul. Then when he cut his robe, he got in trouble for that. Because he touched Yah's anointing.
Okay, I got you.
Okay. even though this king was wicked, it's still accountability. Y'all, like, I raised up that boy. I said it would always be a seed that is a king of the house of David. I raised him up, and you went against my word.
So y'all had to endure all of that because of his promise to David?
Yeah. Verse 24, and his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house, but the people of the land slew all of them that had conspired against King Ammon. And the people of the land made Uzziah the king, Uzziah his son, king in his stead. And I'm like, okay, here we go. We got a chance here. I'm ready to get to the next chapter now. Okay, what are you going to do? There's some good stuff in there, I'm telling you, y'all. Verse 1. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right. Now here his father, Ammon, and his grandfather, Manasseh, did wicked. But here he was, raised up in that house and didn't follow that path.
And he was even younger than the
12. He was younger. He was 8 years old. He's 8 years old and he had a heart to do what was right. You know, that's why I tell people, when I tell people, you know, I've always had encounters with Yah as far as I can remember. And Yah dealt with me, I mean, as far back as I can remember, 3 years old, even younger. I had relationship with Yah. And when you look at this, even from the perspective of Uzziah being 8 years old, it boils down to what we've been saying over and over. It's a heart issue. I remember I used to sit around and talk to y'all. Didn't nobody teach me that. It was something that was going on in my mind that I had learned from my parents and grandparents that y'all was real. And I believed it, and I communicated with him because I knew that he was real. And in turn, he saw my heart and communicated back. It doesn't matter how old you are. Zoe and Cornbread, y'all 9 years old. He can deal with you at 9 years old. He dealing with this boy at 8. I'm too young. No, you're not. Remember, I said he's been dealing with me as far back as I can remember. I know for sure since 3. I just heard it. Out of the mouth of babes, he'll perfect praise. If the heart is right. All right?
So, yes, I got a question. I wish his order was in here.
So at night, you pray, right? You pray before you go to bed. Why do you pray before you go to bed? You just do it because you think it's something to do, or is it because it's in your heart? That's what Pastor's talking about. It's a heart issue. You pray to that. Now, although she's touching her chest, your heart is in your head, baby. Yeah. Your mind is your heart. Verse 2 saying, he did that which was right in the sight of Yah, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right nor to the left. He did everything David did. To be raised up in the house with a wicked man, and yet he followed one of his fathers to perfection. Verse 3, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after Yah of his, after Yah of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence. And the images that were on high above them, he cut down, and the groves and carved, and the carved images and the molten images, he break in pieces and made dust of them and strode it over the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so he did, and so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks and round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images in the powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joash, the son of Joahaz, and the recorder, to repair the house of Yah, his God. And when they came to Hilkiah the priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of Yah, and which the Levite that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim and all the remnant of Israel and of all Judah and Benjamin. And they returned to Jerusalem, and they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of Yah, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of Yah to repair and amend the house. It's funny how every time they do something evil, they tear up the house. Even the artificers and builders gave they it to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings and to floor the houses which the king of Judah had destroyed. I mean, he destroyed the floors and everything. And the men did the work faithfully, and the overseers of them were Jahath and Obadiah, the Levite of the son of Merari, Zechariah and Meshullam of the sons of the Kohathites, to sit it forward, and other of the Levites, all that could skill instruments of music.
So do the Levites suffer during these periods because, you know, they don't have their own inheritance? And, you know, a lot of times the food that they would get was from the sacrifices that the people would bring in.
Yeah, all Israel suffered when these kings rose up and operated in evil, even to the point where as we read in these books here, and it may have been Hezekiah that made the Levites and the priests and all of them sanctify themselves. They had got so far away from the law that they wasn't even sanctifying themselves for the work of the service. Verse 13 says, and they were over the bearers of burdens and were overseers of all that wrought the work in the manner of service. And of the Levites, there were scribes and officers and porters. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of Yah, Hilkiah, the priest, found the book of the law of Yah given to Moses. They didn't even know where it was. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of Yah. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servant, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of Yah and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workman. Then Shaphan, the scribe, told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest have given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the law, he rent his clothes. When he read that Yah had said in the law that this stuff would happen to our nation, and to understand that it was happening, he just towards Chloe.
So he did all that he did out of a good heart. It wasn't that he was reading scripture to know, like, you know, this is an abomination, blah, blah, blah. He wasn't going over none of that.
Right.
He just out of his heart knew that this ain't right.
Yes. His grandfather and his father operated in wickedness. Manasseh and Amos operated in wickedness, and here he comes to power, and he has a heart to do that was right, and he wasn't taught righteousness by his father and grandfather. And so when he hears about the law and all the things, he said, man, this is why this is going on. Just think what would happen to us as a people if all of us preachers taught the scriptures from the mind of Yah to cause our nation to come to the realization why we're here. You don't understand why they're doing this to me. We understand. Because we had a heart to follow the law, statutes, and judgments of Yah, Yah said, let me show you who you are, and let me show you why you're here. So when he comes to that understanding, he tears his clothing. Verse 19. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, go, inquire of Yah for me, and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of Yah that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of Yah, and do after all that's written in the book. Israel, this is our problem. Verse 22, and Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, and the son of Tikvath, the son of Hazra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spake to her to that effect. And she answered them, thus said the Lord Yah of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me, thus said Yah, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book, which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. All right? And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of Yah, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord Yah of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, that is, because thine heart was tender, and thou did humble thyself before Yah, when thou heardest the words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humbled thyself before me, and did rend thy clothes, and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, said Yah. Behold, I will gather thee to thy father, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thy eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. If you notice what Yah said, he said, you obey. What's the title? Consistency is obedience. Hezekiah hit. Uzziah hit. You had these kings who were hitting. What I mean by hitting, they did that which was right. But then you had other kings that would come along and do that which was evil. And Yah said, you know what? I'm going to judge the whole nation. I had preached this once before. I'm going to bring it up again. That's why it's important for other nations to understand corporate judgment. You get people that say, I didn't have nothing to do with slavery, but your folks did. And what has to be understood is, just like Hezekiah, those other nations, the European nation who are descendants of those people who had slaves, might say, I want to do the right thing. And I didn't have nothing to do with that whatsoever. Yah said, okay, I'll deal with you according to the righteousness that you operate in. But corporate judgment coming to your folks. Now notice, when corporate judgment came, you mentioned it, you asked the question, how did the priest, what happens to the priest? When the king is operating evil, he pay the price too. What happens to the prophets when the king operates in evil? They pay the price too. That's what nations don't understand about corporate judgment. They think because they didn't do something, they think because they didn't do a thing that it excuses them from what's going to take place.
I keep seeing like the example we used before of like a team, right?
Mm-hmm.
When one person commit an issue in this team and we play in the game, it's going to affect everybody. So consequence can come for everybody as a result of something one person decided to do.
Yes.
As a part of the team.
Yes. That's why I said earlier, before we got into this lesson, that consistency is the key to obedience. Here you had Israel would obey for a period of time, disobey for a period of time. Obey for a period of time, that's why I kept showing you in and out. Obedience, disobedience. Obedience, disobedience. Y'all said, I'm going to judge it. I give Hezekiah the credit for his obedience, but every time another king rises, the rest of you fall right in line with the other king, and you don't follow in the footsteps of what Hezekiah laid out. So we see this happening over and over in Scripture to the point to where Yah said, I'm not going to let you get by with it anymore. I said in my word what I was going to do, and I'm going to do exactly what I said. And it don't matter how nice you be about it now. I need your consistency, Israel. Now let's bring it up to 2024. Y'all need our consistency, not our obedience. He need our consistency in obedience. Not just obey, and then we go back to the same old stuff. Remember I used examples as far as leaving the clothes by the bed? Then to tell me, okay, can you stop doing that? I obey for a week. Then I think that should be credit enough for me to say, well, you ought to be good to me. I obey for a week. That's the mindset of us as a people. I went to church today. Bless me, Lord. Is there consistency, though? I did this. Give me credit for it. Y'all, like, I'm looking for consistency. Y'all needs consistency. And so, as I get ready to close here, when I was sitting down talking to my friend today, I said, listen, I said, you have been warned. And if you don't get consistency, if you don't have consistency about this walk with Yah that you're claiming, I have to avoid you so that I don't get burnt. When Yah bring down his judgment, I don't want to get caught up into it because I'm participating in agreement with it. So I was like, I said, so that's why you hadn't heard from me. You know, that's why I hadn't contacted you. You know, that's why I you know, certain things that I don't do with you anymore and things like that. Because I'm like, okay, you've been hitting and missing too long. Ever since you've been a part of the church, you've been hitting and missing. One week you do good. The next 2 weeks you do bad. 1 month you do good. The next 3 months you do bad. 1 year you do good. The next 5 years you do bad. Then you turn around saying, I don't understand why all this is happening. Consistency. Consistency. I say it again, I'm done. Consistency is the key to obedience. Not just obedience, consistent obedience is the key. We just looked at examples of obedience that wasn't consistent. And when it was said and done, Yah said, to judge all of you. I'm going to look out for the ones who consistent. You had a heart to seek me. I'm going to look out for the ones who consistent. But when I bring my judgment, I'm going to hit everything that ain't consistent. You got to hear me, church. Y'all finna hit everything that's not consistent. I'm like, okay, y'all, I got to make sure I'm diligent about everything I do for you. Everything that we do for y'all, we got to make sure we're consistent about it and we keep, we know, using my friend, church member again, I kept telling him, I said, you know, it ain't like you don't know. Yeah, Pastor, I know. Well, you better do something about it. He sent me to warn you. Yeah. Now he sends me to you as the church to warn you. He need consistency out of all of us. Whatever he's leading us to do, whatever you know to do, he's been dealing with you about things. This is a time frame. This is a season where we have to be consistent. So, just like one of our family members, member of the church, where I laid things out today, I laid it out to him because I love him. Now I'm laying it out to you for the very same reason. I want each one of you to be consistent about anything that Yah is having you to do. And it don't matter, babies, it don't matter how young you are. There was a king, Zoe, who was 8 years old. You 9, you older than the guy who became the king. And the Bible said that king did right by Yah because it was in his heart to do right. He was 8. So don't think you're too young. I'm too young to pay attention in church, Papa. He was 8. You a whole 9. That just reached out and touched everybody, didn't it? You gotta say it to the kids. I'm not letting you get by this either. James will die. He won. He gotta get consistent. Consistently sit down, boy. Consistently shut him down. He said, "Papa, when you preach, I think I should preach. So I'm gonna say something when you say something." Yep. So y'all got it? Any questions or comments before we close? Alrighty. You have it. Now let's all get consistent, okay? Alright. Father Yah, we bless you for your word on tonight, and we just thank you for teaching us that consistency is the key to obedience. We thank you for the examples that you showed us in the scriptures, and that once you decided to stop showing our nation mercy, you did it, and it didn't matter which way we were going, in righteousness or unrighteousness. You didn't see the consistency, and so you judged us accordingly. Bless us as a people to get consistent and to follow you according to all your laws, statutes, and judgments. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.